Hey everyone, it's Wendy, and I am back with yet another episode of the Show Up or Shut Up podcast. We are on season 3, episode 11, and my guest this week is Christine Karpiak. Christine is an artist from Canada, and we had a lovely conversation that I know that you are going to enjoy. And the most remarkable thing for me that came out of this conversation was finding out that Christine was actually a professional actress and that she had some pretty decent sized roles. Now, I did the homework for us and I tried to find somewhere where we could watch Christine on television or in a movie, and I did not have success because the series that she was on is not available. But it does seem like Christine was on a pretty decently highly regarded series in Canada called Mile Zero. So if anyone out there who's listening saw this soap opera on television called Mile Zero, then you might remember seeing Christine Karpiak on your television, which I thought was just like so fun and so neat. So anyway, without further ado, here is season 3, episode 11 of Show Up or Shut Up. Welcome to Show Up or Shut Up, a podcast about prolific makers, specifically in the world of mixed media art. I'm your host, Wendy Solganik, also known as Willa Wanders, and I'm here to explore the ups and sometimes the downs of being a prolific mixed media artist. I've been a maker my entire life, and I've had four, yes, four separate careers involving art. In each episode, we'll talk to artists about how they became prolific makers, why they make art, and the struggles they go through. We'll talk about being an online creative, social media, and how to navigate that world if that's what you're into. Whether you're a casual art lover of mixed media art and collage, or a serious artist making a living with art, whether you're a handmade book artist, an art journaler, a 3D assemblage creator, a fiber artist, a collage artist, or everything all at once, I hope you'll join me on this journey into the world of mixed media making. If you like this podcast, hit the subscribe button and leave a review. You can find me, Wendy, at willowanders.com and on Instagram at willa.wanders and at fodder.school. Hello, Christine Karpiak. Welcome to the Show Up or Shut Up podcast.
Well, hi, Wendy. How are you?
I'm actually exhausted.
What's going on?
We are recording this episode the day after Memorial Day in the United States, which is a holiday. It's a national holiday. And we decided yesterday that we were going to have a party. And the older I get, the more I realize that the day after I host a party, I really should schedule nothing.
No, but we don't do that, do we? No,
we don't do that.
Oh, no. I'll be fine.
Instead, I have a full day of like work commitments and personal commitments, but I'm doing it. I really 99.9%. I try to stick to any commitments I make. Even if I feel like, oh, I'm too tired, I don't want to do this, I just say, I've committed to it, I'm doing it.
Good for you.
And it always works out.
Oh, well, you just push through, don't you?
Yeah, you push through. And and I never regret not canceling. I never regret it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think, like, you can say to yourself, well, if I cancel this, then it's going to be a whole other set of circumstances. And then, yeah, you will regret it. So good for you.
So welcome again. So everyone who's listening, I want to introduce you guys to Chris Karpiak, aka Christine Karpiak. And if you're interested in finding out right now who we're talking to and you want to hop on Instagram and just give a look, Chris's Instagram handle is at Christine Karpiak, spelled CHRISTINEKARPIAK, Christine Karpiak. And Christine, I'm going to ask you all about you, but I think I may have first felt like I got to know you, although you probably don't feel like you got to know the people who were taking the class. Like, I think I probably saw you in another year-long art experience where I distinctly remember learning from you.
Was that Wanderlust?
Have you done other ones besides Wanderlust?
For year-long, let me think. Year-long, no, but I've done like little summits and stuff like that.
Got you. So I definitely remember seeing you, and now I feel like so old. Like normally I can remember exactly what I learned from someone, but I'm having like a senior moment right now. So tell us where you are from.
Well, right now I'm living in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Been all over the place. I grew up just outside of Edmonton, but I haven't lived here for eons and just recently moved back. So I was living on the West Coast for 23 years in Victoria, and it's just so beautiful there. But now I'm back to being a prairie girl.
You're another person that I'm interviewing that either has lived or currently lives in Victoria, British Columbia.
Really? No kidding.
It's like unbelievable how I'm just attracted somehow to people who live there. I've never been there. I've only ever been to the Pacific Northwest one time. I went to Portland, and I've definitely never been to that part of Canada. So now my curiosity is really piqued. So tell me about Victoria, because it seems like a lot of artists live there.
Yeah, it's very creative. Like, it's a small city, but it's beautiful. Like, it's on an island, actually. So I was living on an island. It's a huge island, Vancouver Island. So you don't really feel like you're living on an island, but it's like little England in a way, but it's very quaint. It's beautiful. Lots of creativity, like lots of artists, just lots going on in the creative scene. So I don't know, maybe that's why you've come across. I don't know. It's just weird because I actually don't know that many artists in Victoria myself. So I'm curious to know who they are.
Is it very international? Is it a very international city where people from all over the world who immigrate somewhere else live there? What's the population there like?
I'd say Greater Victoria is 400,000. So it's, like I say, it's not that big. It is international, but I'll tell you, Wendy, when I moved to Edmonton, I didn't expect it to be this international, like much more international than Victoria is, I find. Huh. So it's really curious. Yeah, I always wonder like why people move to where they do and what their story is and stuff. But yeah, Victoria's just beautiful. Yeah.
So you were born and you grew up, and did you go to high school in Edmonton?
I grew up just outside of Edmonton. So I don't know, 20 minutes west of Edmonton, a little place called Spruce Grove. So went to high school in Spruce Grove, got my bachelor's in Edmonton. Then I moved up to Northern Alberta. Then I lived in London, England for a year. And Then I moved up to Yellowknife, Northwest Territories for 3.5 years, which was absolutely amazing. Like, what an experience.
What?
I know. And not a lot of people can say they've been up there. And it's just fantastic. In fact, I was just there last month. It's such a unique place.
I just got the chills. Tell me what it's called. You moved where?
Yellowknife, Northwest Territories.
Yellowknife.
Like, it's up there.
Yellowknife is a city in Canada.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's like very far north?
Yeah, it's far north.
Like, okay, it says Yellowknife is the capital city of Canada's Northwest Territories. It lies on the north shore of Great Slave Lake with possible views of the northern lights in fall and winter.
Oh, like every night. Northern lights almost every night. It's just such a unique place to live. I don't even know how to explain it. It's like one of those places you love it or you hate it. And I loved it. I cried buckets for months after I moved. I didn't want to move.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit. So you grow up in this small town outside of a pretty major city, Edmonton.
Yep.
Is that a
yep.
pretty major city?
Yep.
And then what makes you leave that area first?
Well, I didn't want to leave because my family and friends are here, but I needed to get a job and there were just no jobs. That just wasn't happening.
So that's why I moved. What kind of job were you?
I was a teacher.
A teacher. Okay. What do you teach?
I was teaching elementary school. So like grade 1, 2, and 3.
Oh my God. How wonderful. Okay. Yeah. I just saw a whole bunch of elementary school kids at my daughter's. There's all these high school graduation events. And one of them is the city has all the high school graduates go back to their elementary school and they have a little ceremony at the elementary school that they went to so that they like regroup with their friends from elementary school. And it's so cute. And the whole elementary school comes. Elementary
school. That's so cute. How sweet. Oh my goodness. Oh, I love that. I've never heard that before. I love that. That's awesome.
It's really special. So, okay. So I'm looking at a map. I just have to, I'm sorry. Okay. This is so far north. So I didn't realize how close Calgary is relative to Vancouver. Calgary and Edmonton are in the western part of Canada. And then basically this place where you lived was on a very large lake, very far north in Canada. So,
it's like the second largest lake in Canada or something like that. Second or seventh or something, like one of the largest. It's huge. It's massive. Yeah. Good fishing.
Okay. It's fishing. But that wasn't the first place. So you went from outside of Edmonton and you first went where?
I went to a little place called Beaver Lodge. 2,000 people. I know. I know. But I just met great people. Like, I met great people. And
Where is Beaver Lodge?
It's just west of Grand Prairie. You'd probably be able to find Grand Prairie, and it's close to the Alberta BC border. So it's about 4.5 hour drive northwest of Edmonton.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
it's
also
a pretty farming place. Yeah. Okay. But yeah. So you think you're far north? It's no.
No. Okay.
And even when you're in Yellowknife, you think, oh, I'm so far north. But then you realize, still no. There's just so much land even above that. But the road stops at Yellowknife. You can't drive. Like when you get there, there's nowhere to drive. There's a little road that goes for maybe 45 minutes to the lakes and stuff. And then it just stops and that's it. So you can't go anywhere unless the winter, then they build ice roads. So you can go a lot of places in the winter. It's just such a crazy place.
Wow. So anyone who lives north of Yellowknife is living totally off the grid if you live in those areas.
Yeah, they're fly-in places. Like, you can't drive. Maybe in the winter you could drive to some places if they're close enough. But, you're flying. Like
it's approximately where Anchorage, Alaska is for people in the United States and stuff who know where Anchorage is. It's, if you look on a map, it's like,
same.
Is it, latitude. I don't know if it's latitude. Yeah. Okay. It's
latitude.
It's a little bit north of where Anchorage is, south of Fairbanks. So, okay. So you moved to this tiny little town at this point, are you an artist or are you practicing any type of art?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I've really always been an artist. I've always done something, and it just always morphed from one thing to another because I just can't do one thing ever. And so I was always doing something. And then with the kids, of course, I'm an art teacher, right? I have to teach them art. And when I say teaching art,
you are not just an elementary school teacher, you're an elementary art ed teacher.
Well, yeah, because that was part of my gig. I had to do that as well, right? So so it's like we're not doing arts and crafts, we're doing learning about art, learning about the elements of art and exploring that. So the years of experience with all that. Yeah. And I love it.
A degree specifically in art education?
No, like when I got my bachelor's, it was a bachelor's of education, but you had to have a minor, and my minor was in art education. It was an education through the arts. So it was an education through the arts. It was called. Yeah. And then when I did my master's, it was master's of educational practice, but it was heavily arts based. It was really just actually brilliant how they did it, but they really encouraged us to be creative. And I can't even explain it, but we had to explain what we were learning, and they encouraged us to do that through art. So I was right up my alley.
So you have always known that this is what you were passionate about, like from a pretty early age, when you were going to school, university, you were getting a degree in education and art education. Like you were very young and discovered that you wanted to do this.
I'd say really looking back, my whole life, I've been a creative with a capital C, like my whole life. And now I'm finally able to just really just live creatively every day. My whole life is totally changed upside down and it's for the better. And I'm just living a creative life and running my creative business. And it's just awesome. Yeah.
All right. So you were living very far north, teaching in an elementary school. And then what took you out of that place and to somewhere else?
Well, it was my husband's job. So we loved it there. We weren't ready to move, but there was an opportunity in Victoria because he's from Calgary. He was an air traffic controller. So he tried Calgary 3 times, just didn't work out. Tried Edmonton Center, that didn't work out. There was never an opening in Edmonton Tower. So his buddy said, well, there's an opening in Victoria. And I mean, me being adventurous said, okay. So we went there and it all worked out. And yeah, we were there for 23 years.
Wow.
But it was hard though, even though it's such a beautiful place and like the ocean and the forests and the wildlife is just incredible. I didn't have my people there, Wendy. I didn't have my family. I didn't have my friends, all my relatives. And so I was lonely, to be honest, there.
Oh, wow. So you were in this beautiful place. And did you get a teaching job there?
Not for a long time. Yeah, it took me a really long time because there were no jobs.
That could explain where your loneliness came from, because if you had gotten a job in a school system there, you probably would have made really good friends.
Right. Yeah. Well, eventually I did. Yeah. Now I have some really good friends from there and stuff, but yeah. But you know, it's just not where I want to be. So I'm not teaching. Well, I am teaching only a little bit now, but basically the business is obviously my passion and obviously what I want to be doing. So that's what I'm doing.
Okay. So wait, so did you eventually get a teaching job in an elementary school in Vancouver?
In Victoria? Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. Vancouver is the island. Victoria is the city, correct?
Well, Vancouver is a separate city, but it's on the mainland. But the island I lived on is called Vancouver Island.
Gotcha. Okay. So there's Vancouver, the city on the mainland of Canada. And there's Vancouver Island, which has Victoria, a city at the southern tip.
Correct. You are looking at
I am looking at a map. Well, now I have to know this well because everyone I interview is from Vancouver somewhere. Okay. So, so you were living in Victoria on Vancouver Island, which is not living in the city of Vancouver, because that's a city
on the mainland. Total different world. Yeah, Vancouver, total different world. But I love Vancouver. Like it's awesome. Yeah, but total different world. Yeah.
Vancouver, the city, you're saying is awesome. It's like is it like a New York City awesome with skyscrapers and big time city.
Big time city. Yeah, we're talking huge city. I don't even know how many people live there, but it's just beautiful. It's right on the ocean again. And it's huge. It's just sprawls forever. It's awesome. But big time.
People live on all of those little islands that are all in the water there between the mainland and Vancouver Island. Oh my God. Yeah. It must be breathtaking.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's like, never could you ever take it for granted. Like I would still pinch myself and go, oh my God, this is like where people go for vacations, because that's they did. Like people even in Canada would go there because our climate there is so mild compared to the rest of Canada, right? And because living on the coast, you just get rain in the winter. You don't really get snow. Well, you get snow sometimes, but hardly. And people want to get away in the winter, they just go to Victoria. It's just
And it's not far from Seattle at all.
Not at all.
How would you get from Victoria to Seattle?
You could take a couple of ferries, or you could take a passenger ferry that goes direct from harbor to harbor, which would be 3 hours. If you took like your car with a ferry, it's about 4 or 5 hours, 5 hours. Yeah. So it's close. It's really close. Yeah. I love Seattle and Portland and just love like that whole area of the world is just awesome and beautiful and people are lovely and lots of islands and Seattle's just such a huge city. Like last year I went to Seattle and before I moved to Edmonton, like, I've got to go to some baseball games. I've got to go see the Mariners. So I did that. It's like, this is awesome.
All right. So what takes you out of Victoria? Why do you leave there?
Well, you just asked a really big question, Wendy. It's
okay. Don't answer if you're like, Wendy, this is too personal. You've gotten too personal. I don't want to answer
No, it's just life, right? It's like I'm thinking, how do I condense the answer to that? In a nutshell, it is personal, but you know, I don't really care if anybody knows it because it's reality. It's my life, it's my reality. And so I was no longer with my husband. And I just realized that Victoria is so ridiculously expensive. Like it's just gone off the charts. And I realized I cannot afford this place. I cannot afford to live in this place. But I said, my friends were like, oh, you're moving back home. And I said, well, I'm not leaving my son. No, I'm not leaving. But then I just realized it's not happening. And anyway, long story short, like all these little seeds get planted in your brain. And I don't know, it's like the universe is pointing you in this direction, but you don't really realize it until at some point there's this epiphany. And I realized, oh my gosh, I could live mortgage free in Edmonton. Like mortgage free, Wendy. Mortgage free here, whereas I couldn't even afford to rent a one bedroom apartment in Victoria. That's how ridiculous it is. Yeah.
Well, I understand that. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, well, I live where I live because the housing is so affordable.
It's like for me in the end, it was just a no brainer. Like I literally couldn't. My son's mom, I get it. Don't worry. I know it has nothing to do with me. And now in the end, as it turns out, my husband, former husband or whatever you want to call it, he's now just moved to Calgary, which is 3 hours south of me. So my son, who is in Norway right now working on a farm.
He is?
Yeah. Isn't that cool? Yeah. It's so cool. So I don't know where he's going to end up, where he's going to end up in Calgary or Edmonton or whatever. But even if he ends up in Calgary, he's only now 3 hours away as opposed to an airplane ride away. So it's just all working out. It's working out great. Yeah. And I have this beautiful place and I'm super happy here.
And you're with your family and all of your friends.
Exactly. Yes. Right.
But you're not a teacher in a school.
No.
No. So you're pursuing the mixed media art education full time.
Yeah, which I've been doing for quite a while now, right? But
okay.
But now I have that. Yeah, well, it's just interesting how life lets you go in the direction that you need to go, basically, right? So we've talked about me always being a creative and being an art teacher for years and years. And then I discovered mixed media. And I couldn't even sleep at night. I couldn't even sleep at night. Literally, my brain, my heart, my soul was on fire because I'd done painting. I'd done this and I'd done that and stuff. But when I realized like mixed media, I could put all of those things together. It just was me. I don't know. I can't even explain it. It resonated with me just wildly, right? And so then I started exploring that. And then when I did my master's, again, as I was saying, they encouraged us to do a lot of art. So that's what I did. When they say you need to share your thesis or whatever, right? So I did that through art and I had these paintings and stuff and they were like, everyone was cheering and clapping. It was just great. And they said, oh my God, you're so good. And it was just such a great thing. And then I just started really getting into that and getting a website going and Instagram and everything. And then I got hired on Wanderlust 2020. And you know, it's just exploded. I've got so many projects and I'm doing so many things this year. It's just awesome. And it's all I want to do. It's all I want to do. Like, I love to help people. I love to empower women. And that's what I feel like I'm doing with my art. What I've sort of realized is the direction I'm going, it's just how it's all worked out. This isn't the plan. It's just how life works out is like, life through art. Like I've just realized they go hand in hand. And so the classes I design and stuff are to help people live their best life, but through art. And so we make these projects that we actually can use to manifest these things in our life and make great things happen and heal ourselves, all kinds of stuff. It's just a beautiful world.
So do you remember approximately when it was that you discovered quote unquote mixed media art? Like you said you were getting your master's. Was it right before you got your master's or during getting your master's?
Yeah, it was just before. So it was about 2015, 2016.
Okay, so not even 10 years ago.
Nope.
8 years ago. Okay, yeah. So you're saying prior to discovering it, you were always an artist, but would it be like you were doing one type of art at a time?
Yeah, probably.
This is actually an interesting question. We've probably all always been mixed media artists because I think the people who are drawn to it are people that are passionate. I used to be a ceramic artist. I've done knitting and crochet. I've done watercolor painting. I've done calligraphy. I was always a mixed media artist. I didn't call myself that. So what is it about that point where you were like, I think I've discovered something. What's the difference, would you say?
Well, the difference for me was just the fire. Like my soul, my being was on fire. Like I said, I can't sleep. And I realized that I don't like the feel. This just sounds really simple and childish, but anyone who does this, I think will be able to relate. Like tearing paper. Like the first time I tore some paper, I'm like, oh my God, this feeling of tearing this paper sounds so ridiculous. But do you know what I mean? I'm like, I didn't have to use scissors and I didn't have to make anything perfect. Like when I was doing landscape oil painting, I really love the feel of the paint and I really want to make these beautiful paintings. And I did make some beautiful paintings, but it was like, it had to be precise and it had to look real. And so getting beyond that was like, I found, you know what it was, Wendy? I found this form of self-expression. Like I stumbled onto art journaling, basically, was where it started. And I just couldn't believe this was the most amazing thing ever. Because again, the tearing, the gluing, and what, I can mix paper and paint? And what? And there's pastels? And there's what? This is crazy.
And well, you can mix it all together.
Yeah. And then I learned, like, I learned so much because I was just taking class after class. And I just learned so much and learned about how to layer. And then I was just buying all the materials because I had to have them. I wanted to experience every single material out there. And I wanted to explore it and how they all work together. And so now when I go to my studio, it's like, I have so many things at my disposal. Like I have so many things on hand that I can draw from so that I'm never really stuck to do a project. Like you can never have enough tools. You can never have enough paper. You can never have enough whatever, because by the time you go to do a project, you know, you need a choice. You need a choice of what to do to make it dynamic.
Did you just say that you had been at some point painting landscapes in oil?
Yes.
So I don't know why I'm slowly starting to get like that interest where I'm like side eye looking over there, like oil paint. I don't know why all of a sudden I'm very interested. I've never been interested in my life, but my oldest daughter took painting in college this past semester and she was painting with oils. And then I've always heard this term oil and cold wax.
Yes. Have you tried it?
No, I'm like,
oh,
ready.
Wendy, I'm like, you will not go back. Oh, it's a passion. Oh my God.
Is oil and cold wax is a passion of yours?
Oh yes. My studio is being built right now as we speak. I cannot wait for it to be done. So I can literally have space to spread and just go nuts with my oil and cold wax. Like I started some pieces, but I haven't finished them. I just can't wait. That's one direction I'm definitely going. I love it.
That is crazy.
I'm literally going to read you today
and I'm saying like, I want to explore it. So I want to explore oil and cold wax. And the other thing that I really want to explore is full encaustic. So in Fodder School 2, we did beeswax collage and it was magical, incredible. I literally, if I had more days of the week, I would section off days for beeswax collage, but I really want to try like the real full encaustic so that when it hardens hard. And I just bought my first bag of the wax pellets that have the encaustic medium mixed in.
So exciting. It's just, again, it's so addictive, the encaustic and all that you can do with it. And just, it just brings your art to a whole other place, like a whole other look and feel and just using the medium.
I'm going to ask you some technical questions. So I feel like with encaustic, you can make any mixed media art piece and then just apply the encaustic over it.
Sure.
And then you have something that has transformed from being a collage to something really elevated.
Yeah, absolutely. Like people, I've seen people put ribbon and fabric and like anything goes, right? And it's so just explore. So what happens if I put encaustic over this?
What happens if?
So exactly.
I'm not a big explorer on large canvases or anything like that. I really feel more comfortable exploring in art journals.
Yep.
So I'm thinking that I'm just going to possibly start applying the encaustic on journal pages. Is that crazy?
You can try. Let me see what happens. Like what? Because I think like encaustic, you might want maybe like a board. So you can get like little boards at art shops. They're so cheap. You don't have to go big. You can just get like little, I don't know, 4x6 kind of boards or something like that.
The problem is, what am I doing then? I feel like they would end up, for some reason, it's maybe a psychological block, but if it's in a journal, I feel like I could do anything.
I know.
Once you take anything outside of a journal, including a piece of paper outside of a bound book, all of a sudden the pressure is on.
I get it. I can't know. Isn't that, what is that, right?
I don't know.
Like, well, we can't waste a piece of wood. Like, oh my God. And now it's, now
yes,
I have to frame
right.
it. Now I have to put it on the wall because right. it's not in my art journal, because an art journal is a safe place. I totally get that. I know. It is psychological.
I just prefer
but I would say to you, I've never tried encaustic on it in an art journal. So I don't know, like on the paper, how it's going to react.
I've seen books, handmade books that are clearly either dipped or coated in either beeswax or encaustic medium. Like I've definitely seen it. It's not common, but I've seen it and it looks magical. And I'm like, I want to try that. So, okay. So you're into everything. If you're into oil and cold wax and you're into encaustic, you are definitely into everything, which is,
you could say that. You could absolutely say that. Yes, that's accurate.
Okay. So tell me about moving back and where you're living, that you are building a studio. Tell us about that.
I have just a great place that I found right on the edge of town. Like I'm a little country, a little rock and roll. I'm like a city girl, but I'm also a country girl. So I said, well, I haven't lived in a city for a really long time. And I don't really know whether I want to, but in this case, I wanted to live in the city. I just tired of doing all the driving and stuff, and it snows here. Right. So I didn't want to. So anyway, I found this great location where it's close to the main arteries, but literally I'm almost one of the very last streets in town, like a couple of blocks, and then it's farmers' fields.
Ooh, lovely.
Yeah. So for me, it's just awesome that way. And I have a basement. So in Victoria, we didn't have basements. We didn't have that there. So here they have basements and it was unfinished. And so I said, well, that's the studio. So I found this amazing builder. His name is David. He's just so fantastic. He's just a great human. And he's so good at what he does. And literally right now he's in my basement putting up drywall. And so I have a filming room and I have a bathroom and I'm going to have the sink area. And then I'm going to have this little coffee, tea, blah, blah, blah area. And then I have this big wide open area for two tables. So the idea is there will be classes down there for adults and children. And there will be me down there pushing my tables together and having this massive open space. And I'm going to be painting on, hanging my giant canvases on walls. It's just, it's going to be multifunctional. It's just, it's just.
How big is your basement?
That's a good question. How big is it? I'd say the filming room is just a bedroom size, just because the way kind of the space was. The rest of the space is, like maybe, 14 by 10 or no, it's bigger than that. I don't even know. It's pretty big. It's pretty big.
It like sounds big. Basement. What you have planned, two tables, having classes down there, a filming room, it sounds like a dream.
It is a dream. I'm not going to lie. It's a dream.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a dream. Yeah.
So you're saying you're going to hold classes. So there must be enough of a population in the area that there are people who might want to take courses. So that's beautiful. So that will, that will help stave off the loneliness that exists with working as a solo artist. I feel like it can be isolating if you don't work in a group studio. But if you teach classes in your studio, then there's a constant flow of human beings who you're in relationship with.
Yeah, exactly. Like I love my own company. I'm not really ever lonely. And so I love filming and I love the whole technology and the editing. I love all of that because I have an acting background. So that's all of that gets fulfilled for me too. So I still get to be on film and do what I used to do. But you're right. I think having that connection with people is very important for everybody's lives. When I used to go to crops and stuff, we would just go like scrapbooking and most people would scrapbook and I would of course do art, but or make cards or something like that. But you know, that creative energy is palpable. It's there and you feed off of one another in such a positive way and you learn from one another. And it's really beautiful. And I think for even just self-growth, it's really important. So yeah, I think it's going to be just an excellent balance for me. That's a good point.
So you just mentioned that you are an actress. So we haven't talked about that yet. How does that part of you feed into your greater story?
Well, I've done it my whole life. I did theater my whole life. And then I got an agent. So then I did some film work in Victoria. I mean, it's like another aspect of my creative life. Like if I don't do it, I'll implode. You know what I mean?
Like, really? If you don't act, you'll implode.
But because I got really sick, so I couldn't do it anymore. Like I don't know if I'll ever be able to get back on stage really just because my brain's like so much better now, but I had serious brain fog. Like it was awful. It's just awful. I cannot honestly say that to people. It's a real thing.
From COVID or from something else?
I got really sick. I got an autoimmune disease, got diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And I was so stressed. And so I went through a lot of trauma. I didn't realize it was trauma at the time, but it was. And so my body just shut down. Like it literally shut down. I was bedridden. And so your whole body is just not working, including your brain. And so I certainly didn't have the energy to be on stage and I couldn't even memorize lines because I have to memorize 100 pages of lines. It's crazy. And I don't know. I might get back with an agent here in town. I'm not really sure. I love it. But now with my mixed media art and my teaching, it's sort of filled that creative space for me. So I think even if I never went back on stage or filmed, I might be okay. Because now I sort of get to do that in my own job with the filming and the connecting with people and all of that. I still get to be in front of the camera. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but the one thing that I'm starting to realize just in talking to a lot of people over the past many weeks, different artists recording this podcast series, the acting jobs that you would have had, it would involve a lot of other people probably. So there would be like an incredible experience of making something come to life with other people. Yes. The job of an online art course creator is very solo for the most part. I mean, I get lucky when I get to record a podcast episode with someone because then I'm really having a connection experience with another person. But a lot of the work that I do is by myself. And I do think that I need more connection. I'm starting to really enjoy that creating these podcast episodes is part of this work experience for me because of how much I like to talk to other people. So I imagine the acting roles, part of what's so exciting about it is making a project come to life with other people.
That's very well said, Wendy. You're right. You're absolutely right because you're all working towards the same thing. Oh, you heard the one.
It was, so I'm not going to say because I don't know what order these are going to air in, but one of the other teachers from Fodder School 3 is very involved with actors. And she was the one who explained it. And I was like, oh, I totally get it now. I get why people become theater people.
That's well said. Yeah, absolutely. You're all there for a greater cause. And you all want it to be successful.
Yes.
You made great friends, obviously. And because you're all like-minded. But you're right. I've heard so many artists say it can be quite lonely. Which is why collaborating is so great. Because not only are you working with someone, but also two brains are better than one or three or four, however many people you're collaborating with. The next thing you know, you've got this amazing project going.
Yeah. So tell me about one of your really big collaborations, which was with Sarah Gardner.
That's right. It was with Sarah. So Sarah and I met at Wanderlust 2020 and we wanted to collaborate, but just wasn't the time. I was still really sick and stuff. And then eventually I said, okay, let's do this. And she said, okay, let's do this. And it was, when was it? 2 years ago? I've lost track now. The last few years have been a blur. I don't know. Anyway, so what we did was we made a series on our YouTube channel called My Girlfriend, the Artist. And we realized we had so many things to say and we were so on the same page with things in life. And we're close to the same age that we had these conversations and we hope that they helped people and hopefully it was interesting to people. And maybe they even learned something or maybe it even validated people where they were in their lives. And so then we would take those conversations and use them as a springboard to do some art journaling. So how did those conversations inform our art journaling? And we'd film the conversations and then weave that in with our filming of our art journal into the video. And it was really successful. And we loved it. We just absolutely loved it. In fact, we're hoping to do My Girlfriend, the Artist online retreat.
So it's in
the very early planning stages. We've both been super crazy busy. But now we both are committed to doing that. We really feel strongly about that. And it's a certain direction I want to go. So yeah, exciting.
So what is, can you just explain a little more? Is it a series you filmed where you were both on Zoom?
Right. Yeah. Well, and then you aired them. We had our cameras. So we were on FaceTime. So we FaceTimed each other, but then we had the cameras on ourselves. So then as you're watching the videos, you know, when Sarah's talking, you see her face talking. And then when I'm talking, you see my face talking. And so it's like you're watching the conversation, but she was in California and I was just up the coast. We went and stayed. It's just so cool.
Would you pre-plan what you were going to be making? Would you be sharing what you were making?
Nope.
No, it was just, let's turn on the camera. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Like we had chosen our themes of what we were going to discuss and we had some points ready to discuss and stuff, but the actual creating of the art was completely intuitive. That was not planned. It was like, how did what we just talk about here inform what we're going to do in our art journal? And every page was totally different.
And you were obviously doing this from your art space. So you had access to all your materials and you could get up and stand up and be like, oh, I got to go walk over there and grab something.
Because we filmed it separate. So then when we edit it, one episode I would edit and another episode she would edit. So whoever was in charge of the editing would weave the conversation into the art somehow. No. Yes. Editing the conversation part. Sorry. And then we each individually edited our art part and then we could use our own creativity and how we wanted that to be presented. Yeah.
And this all aired on YouTube?
Yep, it's on our YouTube channel. It's My Girlfriend, the Artist.
Got you. And did it gain any kind of traction as far as having a large audience? That's a question I just had about YouTube.
I think so.
You think so? So people got engaged.
We got lots of good feedback, lots of views. We felt really good about it. We thought it was absolutely worthwhile.
Wow, that is really cool. And then you're not doing it now, though, correct?
No, I think we did. How many episodes did we do? 6 or 7?
Okay, it sounds like a lot of work.
It was. It actually was a lot of work. But again, that whole collaboration piece was extremely fulfilling. Like a lot of self-growth in many ways. We really felt like we were making a difference, or we at least were hoping we were making a difference for people.
Yeah.
It was just in us to do, and we wanted to do it. Like we were just compelled to do it.
Okay. So have there been any other big collaborations in your background besides that one? Because that's a very big one.
No. I was going to collaborate with someone on my Oracle deck, but then as it turns out, I'm doing that on my own, which I'm making an Oracle deck right now.
Like an Oracle deck that you're going to have published and sold as a printed deck?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's very cool. Please let me know when you do that, because I'll definitely buy it. I love decks.
Oh, absolutely. I
definitely want to get into making my own, but I definitely also want to collect decks. I think they're beautiful.
I do too. Yeah. This one is going to be beautiful. I'm pretty excited about it.
That is really exciting.
Got some awesome backgrounds so far and got some really great ideas for the cards and stuff. So yeah, it's just a work in progress still, but yeah, what's that?
No, you go.
Well, I do want to do more collaborations. And for example, Sarah and I have talked seriously about we haven't planned anything, but we've seriously talked about wanting to do a live, like an in-person retreat. That's something I've wanted to do for years, but I don't want to do that by myself. I want to do that with someone. And we sort of said we wanted to do that together. So we have ideas for that too. So I don't know. Yeah, there's lots of, I don't want to only work solely. I do want to collaborate because I actually love it. It's awesome.
I do think that there will be, if there isn't already, a tremendous demand for in-person art retreats again. Because this is just a hunch, but I think the pandemic has made people realize how much we love creating art together.
And yes.
A few people have asked me, are you ever going to create a live art retreat for Fodder School? Or are you ever going to teach at a live retreat? And I think that probably the answer to, am I ever going to create a live retreat? The answer is no. There are professionals who create these experiences professionally. I'm not saying that you and Sarah couldn't create one. It's just the other part of that equation is it's an enormous undertaking to do that. So my job in running what I'm currently running is a full-time job, more than full-time. It's like a 7-day-a-week thing. And so going into the whole creating of a live thing, it's a big commitment. And they're wonderful and amazing.
Oh, it's a huge commitment. Yeah, it's huge. That's why I don't want to do it by myself. It's just too much.
I think it would be
But I still want to, because I mean, that's what I've done my whole life, right? Was plan and teach and organize and stuff. So for me, it's just an extension of what I've already been doing.
Yes.
But it's on a much bigger scale, right?
You're the right person because you have the live teaching experience. That's what you've been doing professionally. So you would be a really good person to create an experience for people that's live. Whereas I have no experience creating live events and business creating live events.
But you know what? That's good that you recognize that, because we need to just stick to our strengths, don't we? We need to recognize
it's just
our strengths
much
and go
easier
with that.
Yeah.
So you can let other people do it, Wendy.
No, for sure. I don't have any desire, just that people ask. That's what I'm saying. I know the demand is there. I feel myself, if I still didn't have like children at home who I needed to take care of, I might be looking to travel and go to live art experiences. There's one. Have you heard of Art and Soul in Portland?
No, but Portland, I told you, I love Portland. No, I haven't. What's that all about?
I feel like you should check that out because you might want to teach there. You might want to check out Art and Soul. Yeah. They have a website. They have a woman who's been running it for a very long time. Yeah. You might want to check that out.
Should check that out. Thank you. Yeah. Well, actually, Sarah and I were talking about having our retreat in Portland.
I would say maybe not Portland. There's already a very well-established. So that's interesting because I feel like you guys should definitely know that exists. So maybe, all right, I just did a little plug for Art and Soul. Everybody should know about it. Everyone should know about Art and Soul.
Hey, cool. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Maybe Southern California, maybe closer to San Diego, maybe San Diego.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? That's the thing is like anywhere. It could be anywhere. Right?
Well, it could be, but you know what the one thing is? You need reasonable costing event space. And that is why places in California are difficult to host these things because event space can be very cost prohibitive. Mm-hmm. Like hotels, conference rooms, and lots of conference rooms, or depending on how big you want it to be, it can be really expensive. So finding a place that is a little more remote actually makes the whole experience more reasonably priced. It's just harder to get to. It's complicated. Yeah. Anyway, I hope you guys do it. I will be very happy to help you guys promote it when you do.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, I was looking at Vancouver Island because it's so beautiful. There's all these little towns and places and on the ocean, and I just thought it was perfect, but I was shocked that I just could not find a venue. Like I just couldn't believe it because I thought this is a great location for a retreat. Honestly, like you're in nature. There's just so much there to inspire you. Like it's a serious, beautiful getaway, but I just could not find a good space or just the right one. I was so surprised. I was really surprised. So that didn't happen, which was really too bad.
I'm actually not as surprised as you are. I think that finding the right place is challenging. Getting your needs met within a budget and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is I know what I want. I want it to be rural. I mean, if possible. I want it to be peaceful and calm and yeah, so I don't know. We'll keep looking.
Right. And then people need to be able to get there.
Why? So it's like, exactly. I know. Complicated. That's part of the thing is it can't be too complicated to get to. And then transportation to and from the airport and all this kind of stuff. So it is complicated. You're right. I know.
It's complicated. I'm back on the map. I'll let you know. My husband brought my oldest daughter to San Juan Island.
Oh, serious? Yeah.
A long time ago. And we're invited to go back whenever we want, but I've never wanted to make the trip because it's like we would have to fly, take multiple planes, and then get on a boat. It's like a big trip. Yeah. And my husband can only take a couple days of work off at a time. So I keep telling him, I'll go to San Juan Island, but I'm not going for less than a week. It's a massive trip to get there. And then to turn around 2 days later to go home. I'm like,
no, hell no. I wouldn't recommend it. It's a long way for you to go.
It's a long way.
Yeah, you've got to fly into Seattle probably. And then you've got to get from Seattle up there, which is probably renting a car and whatever. And it's a thing.
So we would have to fly to Seattle, which could be a connecting flight thing, then rent a car and then get on a ferry, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can fly into Vancouver too, but you might just want to stay in the States. I don't know. But either way, you need a car and a ferry.
It's a big trip, but I'm sure it's very beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's like vacation land.
Vacation
islands, land. Yeah. Islands and water and whales and sea life.
I mean, whales. Like, yeah. You know? Whale watching.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
Maybe someday. Look at my husband retires and can take longer off of work. We can go on all these trips. we want to go on. So, okay. So that's, you've definitely done some research on even looking for locations. So yeah. That could be coming up. And then what would you say your day-to-day life is like? Are you filming a lot? Are you making art for yourself a lot? What would you say that looks like? I know people are curious about the day-to-day lives of everybody else.
I know. I'm curious about that too. Well, I'm frustrated because my schedule, I just get to bed too late at night. That's my problem, right? And then I'm so tired in the morning. So then I have to sleep in. And then I start my day and it's already late. And then I get just frustrated with myself. So I'm working on that. But I mean, I really try and have calm, quiet, slow mornings just to, I don't want to start my day in fight and flight already because it's like really not a good thing for my nervous system and my health. So I have to be really calm and maybe do some meditating. I go outside and get some sunshine first thing in the morning and I might sit outside and have my breakfast and my tea or whatever just to have that nice start to my day. And then I just get on with things like that. And this right now I'm busy settling the house still because I haven't lived here that long. And so I'm not working as much as I want to be, but I've actually been doing a ton of work lately. I shouldn't even say that really, but yeah, I just need to get better at scheduling. So I'm not even answering that question very well, am I?
Well, no, I actually think you are answering it really well because I have been thinking for years really about this, the mystique, the artist mystique, let's call it, where people might think that artists are making art for 8 hours a day or something like that. But I think more often than not, the art is made in the spaces in between life.
Yeah.
And that if you were to have a life that was set up where you could make art for endless hours all the time, maybe the art wouldn't feel as sweet as it does.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I wonder that too. Like for me, I struggle with this time. I'm trying to do this, stick to my time blocking. Okay, now this is the time you're working. This is the time you're cleaning the house or whatever it is. And so I really want to stick to my schedule because I think it's going to make me much more productive, which I'm having a hard time right now because the house and I'm tired a lot with my health and stuff like that. But so I think like at some point you've got to set yourself this time to work, right? I mean, it's just like working out of the home. You go, you have these hours that you work and that's the designated time. So I think like for an artist, you have to do that yourself at home because like for me, I'm not very self-disciplined. I'm not very disciplined because I get so distracted. I get distracted like yesterday. I'm like, well, I have a ton of editing to do. And I'm like, well, I'm having company and I really want to fix my garden up. So I did gardening all day instead of editing. And then I was like, what am I doing? It's crazy. I have deadlines. But I think within that framework, you need freedom because that's how creativity flows, right? So, okay. So some days are editing. Yeah. Some days you're sitting on your butt and you're editing, but those days you're creating, it's well. A little bit you have to force yourself, but also it has to come to you, doesn't it? Like you have to work yourself up to that.
That's really my question. How realistically, how many days in a year do you have where it's, I've got nothing on my to-do list. I'm just going to have this free day to create all day. And then you'd have to wake up feeling inspired to like so many things would have to align. Like
I would, Wendy.
never would ever have a day where I could just have that kind of freedom. It just doesn't exist for me. So I'm realizing now that if I'm just happy with the in between, that maybe the 15 minutes here, the hour there, sometimes 2 hours if I'm super lucky, that actually I make a lot of art. And it's never just something where it's a marathon of all day long. And it's okay because I have a life and a family and a house and you've got a garden and you've got to edit video because that's part of your job and like all the other things that make life happen. And totally. You need a relaxing morning because your nervous system needs that.
Yeah.
And that's all good. And I'm coming to a more place of accepting, I guess is what I'm saying, that I can make plenty of art in the in-between spaces.
Awesome. Well, and I think you're right. Like, it's good that you're accepting that because that's how you roll. That's what's working for you, right? And for me, like, I get inspired and then I'm like on a roll. But 10 million other things need to be done as well. And some important things.
Well, that's what happens. I could get inspired and want to go on a roll. I could. That happens. I was very inspired like a week or two ago and I was making piece after piece and I'm going to have them framed. But the reality is I don't have unlimited. I would love to make 100 of those pieces. I just don't have the hours free to do that. So I'm just accepting that it's okay. I'll make a few.
And I think that's just all you can do. There's only so many hours in a day. And if only we didn't have to sleep.
I actually love my sleep and I protect my sleep and everybody wants to disrupt my sleep.
No, we need our sleep. Sleep is everything.
Sleep is everything.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think like we cannot just keep beating ourselves up. Oh, I need to be doing more. We're only one person. There's always so much to do and we do what we can and just be kind to yourself about it. Have some self-compassion instead of, oh, another day I didn't get all this stuff done. Well, that's just how it is. That's life. Right?
That's just how it is. Yeah. I know that social media has created an unrelenting comparison trap for everyone where we all look at all of these social media posts and we get this feeling that everyone is creating art all the time. Maybe even someone who is a regular poster or something on Instagram. And I know that people have definitely told me that they think I just create art all the time. And I'm like, yeah, I'm lucky if I get 15 minutes to a half an hour, like a day. That's a good day. But when you post once a day on Instagram, it gives somehow this perception that making art all day long is what I'm doing. And I just think that I like to talk about how that's not reality so that people don't feel bad that they're not, that their life doesn't allow them to, at least it doesn't exist for me in my life.
No, you're right. I don't think that fantasy exists for anybody because I've heard lots of artists talking about it. They say that people think that being an artist full time is like amazing because you get to sit and do art all day. And they're like, that's actually not reality because they said one of the things they do the least is make art because there's so much marketing and filming, editing, whatever to do. And I have to absolutely agree with that. Yeah. And there are times I haven't been on Instagram for a while now, just like not scrolling and looking, even though I love it, but I get overwhelmed because you're right. You feel like, oh my gosh, everyone is doing all this stuff and I want to be, but right now I just can't. It's too much. Like I think sometimes we just need a break. We need to give ourselves permission to have a break and just, it's okay. Just focus on yourself. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing because you have your own path.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely there are pros and cons to the whole social media thing. If it wasn't for Instagram, I would never know you. I would never have made the relationships I've made, have the acquaintances I've come to love. That's the positive. And then there's all that negative of feeling very overwhelmed by it and feeling like people are making so much more art than you. And oh my gosh, I want to try this, that, and the other thing. And it is very healthy to balance out detachment from that with periods of connection because too much connection can be too much. Anything too much can be too much.
Totally. That's well said. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Because it can sure make you feel lesser than sometimes, which is ridiculous. It's like none of us are lesser. Or it's just maybe right now you're onto other things and you're not having that many things to post. And sometimes you do have lots of things to post and it doesn't even matter. Like you just do what you can. That's what I think.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone can only do what they can do. So it's a self-acceptance challenge.
Yep. It is.
With social media.
And you just have to be kind to yourself again and not compare, because that's just destructive to yourself, isn't it? It's hard not to sometimes, though, but...
So I definitely agree with you. It's destructive, but I also think that we are somehow wired for comparison, and that we definitely need to keep reminding ourselves not to. But I think that this is just my theory about it. We do it subconsciously, whether we want to or not.
Yeah,
because that's how humans are wired.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. That's how we're wired. Yeah.
That's how we're wired.
Yeah, we can't not. But I think just being aware of it is
aware. That's what I was going to say. Like the awareness that, okay, I'm going to be, if I'm on social media, I'm going to end up comparing myself to other people. That's just how our brains work.
Yeah.
And then, okay, if I start feeling bad because I'm on social media, either get off or remind myself, oh, I'm feeling bad because I'm comparing, but I don't need to do that. I could choose to just find the joy in it or whatever. But I mean, yeah. I think we are wired very hard for it. And yeah, I just think we are.
Yeah, I think we are too. But so it's good to know, right? And yeah, like you say, we can choose to just scroll through it and just enjoy the beauty of it and do that mindfully. You can.
Try, right?
Yeah.
That's all we can really do is, right? Try. So, okay. So is there anything else that you feel like is a big part of your story that if you don't end up telling it, it'll be like people won't really know your creative self?
Gosh, such a good question. I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe people know this about me already, but I'm very in tune with nature. I use a lot of nature in my art, which just really helps me heal and calms me. That's one thing. And I've told my story about my trauma a little bit and how it sort of like formed where I am now. So I lost my mom and sister. Tragically, both of them actually 6 years apart. So one in 2010 and one in 2016, and just pulled the rug out from under me. So that was the trauma I was experiencing. But at the same time, I don't know how to explain it, but at the same time, it allowed me to do my art because I needed my art. I needed my art journaling. And so it actually helped me in my art journey. In a way, and it helped me become stronger, and it helped me, I don't know, it helped me reframe my own life. So I'm much stronger and much happier than I was for a long time. And just doing a lot of therapy, a lot of EMDR and stuff like that to deal with that.
Did the EMDR work?
It's a game changer. If anybody is wondering about it. Absolute. I'm not even kidding. It's an incredible program, and it has changed my life. Yeah. I just can't even believe from where I was even 6 months ago to where I am now, let alone a year.
Yeah. So just in case incredible. People are like, what are they talking about? EMDR is a trauma and anxiety treatment, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. It's for deep-rooted. Yeah, mostly trauma. I mean, not only trauma, but it's not a talk therapy. It's an actual program. And so like when you really need to heal, you need to heal at a cellular level. All the trauma and stress was contributing to my disease. And so you need to like really address it deeply. And there's a lot of different modalities, but that is certainly one that is working for me. And so it's a set
and
program.
What are the basics of it? I mean, you obviously you need a professional to do it, but so that people have an idea. And
yeah, how would I summarize it? Because like at the beginning, she sets you up with tools in case you need to go there. But so it's a lot of question asking. She'll ask you the questions and then you listen to a sound. So it's you listen to a sound or your eyes can watch something going across the screen. If you're doing it online. And so the idea is you want your left brain and your right brain to connect, and you want to rewire your brain the way your brain is thinking. So you want to get out of those old thought patterns and you want to create new ones. And so you do a lot of imagining and your brain gets really creative. And she says, so what did you notice? And then your brain's making up all these stories, but they're not stories as in false stories or lies that your brain tells you. It's like tools to help you imagine things. So like when I'm thinking about something that's making me angry, I think about these images that I have in my brain that come through EMDR, and it's just helped me immensely, like immensely. And it just, you just move forward with every session. I might not be explaining it well, but I don't really know how to explain it. It's just brilliant. It's just absolutely brilliant.
So it has to do with eye movements and retraining your brain, correct?
Yeah. Or sound. Yeah. The eye movement is not anything to do with the eyes. It's just connecting the left and right brain. It's a way to connect the brain. Yeah. Yeah.
And you can change the way you think, or you can, did you find yourself ruminating? Would you call yourself a ruminator?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a ruminator.
And your brain gets trapped. Oh, yeah. Awful. Your brain gets trapped into this. Okay. Your brain gets trapped into this way of thinking. So you want to change the story. You want to change the narrative in your brain, but you also want to address things at a cellular level. So like when you go through this therapy, like you go deep, like you go so deep. And it's just, I've never had a therapy. Like I said, it's not a talk therapy. It's just imagery, a lot, lots and lots of imagery, lots of imagery that you come up with yourself. And it's just, it just goes so deep. It's mind blowing. Yeah. I can highly recommend it. Like,
all right. Very cool. If anybody finds themselves stuck in rumination, I've never done it, but I've heard a lot of people have had a lot of success with it. So it's definitely on my radar as something to try. In fact, I got in contact with someone who does it online and they were on vacation. And then by the time they got back from vacation, I pretty much had forgotten about it. So I never contacted them again.
There you go.
They never contacted me, but there was a time where I was like totally ready to sign up for it.
Well, yeah. And I'd say it's like for real deep rooted stuff.
Yeah.
Deep rooted stuff. It's not, oh, I'm having a problem with whatever. It's like deep rooted stuff that has affected your life, like trauma.
Yeah. Trauma. All right. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. I really appreciate that you said yes when we asked you to become a Fodder School 3 teacher. And I'm going to let you go because I'm sure you want to get back in your studio and make some art.
Well, yeah, I do have to get back in there today, actually. It's been such a pleasure talking with you, Wendy. You ask such good questions, and we've talked about a lot here. So thank you for giving me this opportunity. It's been great.
Thank you for your willingness, and thank you for sharing more of your story than obviously people can see through these little pretty squares on Instagram. And I know that people are going to connect with you on such a deep level when it's your turn to be a Fodder School 3 teacher. I'm Yay! So excited to have you.
Yeah, all right. I'm so excited too. Okay.
Thank you so much for coming on. Talk to you later.
Yeah. Get some rest. We'll talk to you later.
Before the next meeting. Okay.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Show Up or Shut Up podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to this podcast and leave a rating and review. And once again, you can find me, Wendy, free gifts for newsletter subscribers, online classes with me and many other incredible instructors, my blog, and everything else at willowwanders.com and on Instagram at willa.wanders. Talk to you soon. Until then, stay curious and keep making.